Mental fitness is about the resilience that is necessary to understand how to choose a positive frame of mind versus a negative one. In our minds, we have both positive and negative thinking happening all the time. When we start to really build our own strength, and start to listen not to the negative self-talk that is constantly in our minds, but build our own mental resilience so that we can really focus and tune in to that positivity that's always there inside of us, but much softer. And we hear it at one-third the volume.
The
And
whole
so the lie of entrepreneurism, and I bought this lie, so I'm speaking from my own authentic experiences here. The lie of entrepreneurism is rise and grind, right? That is the absolute lie of basically just keep going and grind it out, just like every single day. But at the same time, what's happening in most entrepreneurial businesses is like you have to know everything, and that's a
yeah.
lie.
Welcome back to the Empower Your Life show. I'm Cindy Marie, your host, a coach, speaker, and singer, and I'm here to show you the incredible power of embracing your authentic voice. We're here to express ourselves, not to impress. Join us on this journey as we share practical tips and inspiring stories to boost your confidence and empower you to live your best life. Whether you're navigating career changes or seeking personal growth, we've got you covered. Let's embark on this journey together. Today, we have a special guest joining us. He's the Chief Coaching Officer for Positive Intelligence, working alongside CEO Shirzad Shamane. Together, they have empowered over 55,000 coaches worldwide to boost their mental fitness. He's also the mastermind behind a Sage business development program dedicated to helping coaches in eradicating scarcity and tapping into their infinite abundance to elevate their coaching business. In this episode, we'll be delving into the importance of mental fitness, effective marketing strategies, and uncovering beliefs that may be holding us back. Get ready to elevate your life and business with our guest, Bill Carmody. Bill, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Cindy Marie. I appreciate you having me on your show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. So, Bill, I always love to have to start a conversation with our guest sharing the story of their journey. So, what's your story? Could you share with us your story? What led you to what you're doing right now?
My story is a story from scarcity to abundance. I started my journey. I grew up a very happy child until the age of 12. And at 12 years old, my parents got divorced, and that really rocked my foundation. Both my parents are music teachers, and so I really didn't realize how close to the edge of poverty we were living in, because as a child, it didn't matter to me. But when my parents got divorced, suddenly I realized that we were really so close to the edge, and it just hadn't really occurred to me before. And suddenly, there's only one time that I experienced where my mom just hadn't had time to go to the grocery store, but my brother and I fought out over a food scarcity. There was like not enough food in the house, and so he and I were like trying to go for the last thing that we could both eat. And something deep inside of me just clicked on, and I suddenly felt this feeling of fear and scarcity, and like, oh, I wasn't being protected. And that just everything shifted in that moment. And from that day on, I lived in a place of scarcity. And what that meant was I needed to take care of myself. I couldn't trust that my parents were going to have my back. In fact, I felt that I had to take care of my mom and my brother. My dad was no longer in the picture. So imagine a child of 12 having all of these really irrational fears and irrational thinking that drove me to start doing all kinds of things, including having five different businesses at the age of five, at the age of 12. So that was a paper route, door-to-door selling newspaper subscriptions. I started a lawn care business. I had a friend that was jealous of that lawn care business, so I started a separate lawn care business with him. So I had alternating times we would go out and do that work. And anything I could do for odd jobs, I just needed to develop funds. And so I really was driven by scarcity. And that drove me to do all kinds of things like build successful businesses. And it got all the way to the point of 2015 when I had accomplished everything I promised my 12-year-old self. that I would be financially free. I had a wife, beautiful children, and all the thing, the conditions I put on my happiness were achieved, and I was still miserable. And at that point, I was ready to take my life because there was like no end to it. And so instead of taking my life, I decided if I was willing to take my life, I was willing to change everything. And so I did my very first Tony Robbins event, Unleash the Power Within. And it really changed my thinking. And I started my journey of transformation and continued to do that work. And it took me many years to go from a place of scarcity to a place of abundance. It's only been the last couple of years where I really made that change. Mm-hmm. But what I found is that has been the biggest shift in my life, of moving from that place of scarcity, even long after there was no rational reason that I should experience scarcity in my life. I had more than enough on any level you could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there I was feeling that place of scarcity, even though I was surrounded by financial abundance.
Well, I think so many people can relate with that. You know, I'm one of those. When I was younger, I mean, we experienced the privilege in life when we were in Indonesia, and then suddenly downgraded when we moved back to Philippines. And I felt the same way as you do. Like, oh my God, I felt the calling that I have to support my family, and I have to do change radically for the path that I'm taking versus to what they are taking. And it's still happening up until now. And I think this is why it's super important that, you know, having that mentality to shift our perspective. And we are not going to have this conversation if we didn't see that it's, there is a choice, there is a hope, there's still a chance. And well, I might not have the same experience as you do when you're at that moment that you want to, you know, to leave the planet Earth. At that point, when I was, I think when I was a teenager, I believe, because I was in the victim mentality, I was a people pleaser, and I felt like a black sheep at that moment. Yeah. So I felt that I want to, you know, also give up my life. But I think there's certain things in my life that telling me that, you know, you're not supposed to give up your life yet. And I think this is the shift perspective of having that awareness of our mentality, our mindset. And this is why I want you to break it down for us, the mental fitness, right? Yes. For many people might be, it's a new term. Some people would have a different terminology with this. So two things that I want you to break it down. What is mental fitness? And on top of being the CCO of the positive intelligence, you have your own program as well, like the mental fitness program. So how do you think that this mental fitness, such an effective tool or method for every one of us understanding deeply, this is critical, negative self-talk, negative self-critic, or narratives that we kept on building into our mind that unfortunately we are not aware with that. And it's really holding us back from unfolding the best version of ourselves. So help us understand what is mental fitness, and how do you really think that this is a powerful tool or method?
It's a great question. Thank you for dropping us in there, because I think a lot of people conflate mental fitness with mental health. So let me start by making that distinction, because mental health is more of a medical term around sort of, you know, thinking about therapy and how we're, you know, physical, our minds are working or not working for us. And so it is important to understand that there are traumatic events that require therapy and require like the right type of medical treatments. This is different. Mental fitness is about the resilience that is necessary to understand how to choose a positive frame of mind versus a negative one. The way it was first explained to me was that, you know, in our minds, we have both positive and negative thinking happening all the time. But what's interesting is because of the evolutionary reasons, we hear the negative self-talk three times more powerfully than the positive ones, right? So the thing was, you know, in evolution, it was so much more important to see the color of the poisonous snake that almost killed us than it was to remember the colors of the beautiful butterfly. And so essentially we are prone to have fear lock in the things that are concerning to us. So everywhere around us. Now, as we've evolved, suddenly a subject line in an email activates that same fear as if a poisonous snake was in front of us. It's not real, but there it is, right? So our amygdala acts in this way that sort of has us activate our fight, flight, or freeze response, even though it's a perceived fear that's not really real. But it doesn't matter. Our minds act as if it is, if our very life is at stake. And so you think about that, the slightest little comment or even just a gesture, someone looks at us funny and we're already worried about our own safety. And so we go through life with this constant, check, thinking about what other people are thinking about us, how they feel about us, and it's exhausting. And so that's where mental fitness comes in, when we start to really build our own strength and start to listen not to the negative self-talk that is constantly in our minds, but build our own mental resilience so that we can really focus and tune in to that positivity that's always there inside of us, but much softer. And we hear it at one third the volume. And so if we can tap into it, we can strengthen it, and we can actually change the neurochemistry in our brains so that that becomes our default. It takes practice, and it takes, why we call it mental fitness, it's like going to the gym. You actually have to work out your brain every single day so you can become stronger. And if you don't do that, by default, we're going to go to our negativity.
It's true. When you're trying to explain the mental fitness, I was reminded about how negativity can kick in, can absorb quickly, and it's three times. And then you mentioned right away, I'm like, that's exactly that, in our society right now, as you can see, and we are all aware with this, that even in our media, what's being exposed, more negativity, because I think this is super crucial. That's why we have to build boundaries as well.
Yes.
And through mental fitness, you will recognize that we don't have to really, sometimes I also feel that we are built with, our society is building us more to be fear, having that fear instead of being hopeful that there's still a change that could happen in a positive way. And then the second thing that I have noticed, and I would love to hear your thoughts about this, that with the technology as well, you know, if we are not aware about the boundaries, we felt that, you know, there are so many experts in terms of businesses, you know, for coaches and entrepreneurs in this case, that being said that you have to do this, you have to do that, and we can feel overwhelmed. And if we are not aware about who we are being, you know, because in mental fitness, you also provide information, what are those stages and your negative, what do you call that again? I forgot the term.
The saboteurs?
Yes, the saboteurs, yeah. Exactly. And I think it's super, super, and that was really helpful for me, as I know already that first I was really, really controlling and really high performance. And, you know, you keep on hustling and hustling and hustling. And it's the same thing what's happening with coaches or entrepreneurs right now, because we're so bombarded with information, we don't know when to stop. And I think
that's exactly right. You know, the lie of entrepreneurism, and I bought this lie, so I'm speaking from my own authentic experiences here. The lie of entrepreneurism is rise and grind, right? That is the absolute lie of basically just keep going and grind it out, just like every single day. You know, it doesn't matter how hard it is, just keep going, keep pushing through. And that, you know, there is no end to it, and it's exhausting. And that's how you know it's working, is that when you're fully depleted and exhausted, you're doing your best. And that's when you know that's working. That's the lie. And the thing is that, you know, the whole ability to create sustainability in your business as well as in your life is a requirement to find ease and flow. Sage ease and flow is being able to do things that allow you to go outside your comfort zone, but still do it in a place of ease and flow. And that finding that happy medium of, hey, I found my edge of my comfort zone and I'm pushing beyond it, but I'm still doing it from a place of ease. And that's the paradox of how can I also be in ease and flow while still getting outside of my comfort zone? And so we work on that. But at the same time, what's happening in most entrepreneurial businesses is like, you have to know everything. And that's a lie. It's an absolute lie. I've really, like, in another book that I'm really, really very happy with, and I keep coming back to, is Essentialism. And one of the reasons I love the book Essentialism is it's so true that there's so few things that are truly essential in our lives. Yes. And the trivial many is what we get overwhelmed with. And if I'm experience overwhelm, what I ask myself is, what is truly essential right here in this moment? Mm-hmm. Suddenly the trivial many starts to fall away, because the overwhelm comes from the trivial many. And when I start to focus on what is truly essential, I bring presence back. Yes. And that's what the sage does, right? Our sage is always present. Our saboteurs are focused on all the things that don't matter. Someone said this to me a couple of years back, and it just stopped me in my tracks. Said, what other people think of me is none of my business.
True.
It's true, but like, that's the opposite of what we're taught, right? It's like, you know, we think about, so it's the antithesis of social media. Like, I want to be liked, literally the word like I want all the likes because I want people to like me. And it's just the opposite. It's like, no, actually that doesn't matter. What matters is to be your authentic self and to not worry about what other people think. And at the same time, that's the hardest thing, because we're conditioned as human beings to want to be in a society where everybody likes you. And that likability is something we're conditioned to be in. So we're constantly worried about things we can't control. So ultimately we're focused on things that we have no influence over, and it's going to drive us crazy, but that's what our saboteurs want us to focus on. And it's literally not essential, but it's something that we spend so much of our time worrying about things we cannot do anything about. It's exhausting. Yeah.
I think we are in a place of, I don't know how many years we can call it, awakening of understanding what truly matters. You call it spiritual, whatever, but I think some part, and I've learned this, I just posted today, actually, because I watched his talk or his speech, Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. He said, there are only two things that you have to learn in life. One is to find your purpose and spiritual growth. Yeah. And, you know, and with all of these things, I can totally agree with you of how much social media, and I can speak for my experience as well. In the beginning, when I switched from corporate life to entrepreneur, I was like what you said, I have to know everything. And I'm like, oh my God, this is overwhelming. And the good thing is that when I started to realize that what people say about me doesn't really define who I am. It's them. Exactly. Or don't focus on anything negative, but at the same time, like what you said, it takes a lot of practice. It's a lifelong journey. There's no ending.
Yeah. And the thing about it is that all I have is this moment. Like, yes, right now, just using this example, right now in this moment, if I'm thinking about what your audience is thinking about our conversation, I've become inauthentic.
Yeah.
Because I'm disengaged from our conversation and I'm worried about what they're thinking about what we're talking about. In that moment, I've lost it. I've lost it because I've disengaged from you. I'm no longer thinking about what we're doing and being here and being present with you. I'm worried about what your audience thinks.
Yeah, I love it.
Right? So how often do we go through life worrying about what other people think? And then suddenly we're not connected to what matters. What matters is me being right here with you, Cindy Marie, having a conversation that you and I are engaged in. And if you and I are really focused on what matters between the two of us and what we see is valuable, then we can be in trust and faith that this actually matters to other people who choose to listen afterwards. And I just trust that that'll work or it won't work. And those people who want this information will find it, and those who don't won't. And that's enough.
Yes. I love that. I think it requires us to be reminded every day, that one, because I can tell you, I mean, recently after God being sick, you know, all of this low vibration start to kick in. And I started to feel overwhelmed, going back to that negative, all of the saboteurs. And I told to myself, you're not focusing in the present moment. Step back, yeah. Have a pause, and look at you. What's important is your health right now, you know? Right. And really, it can be really overwhelming. And this is why every time I'm having a conversation, and I love to connect with people, I wouldn't have a conversation with you here if I didn't really connect with you, you know? Right. And I think in our society right now, again, going back to that hustle, that making some businesses and promoting your coaching program, whatever. But I think the most important, that's why the mental fitness, I'm one of those coaches that had the grant program, and I really experiencing it. And actually, because of that, I put these things in my
beautiful, your childhood picture. I love it. That's fantastic.
So I reminded myself, and of course, that was just like one of those steps that I told to myself that we forget. Once we step or moving forward, how much we have changed. And I think this is what I've learned in my coaching and from the grant program as well, that, you know, reminding yourself every day to find the gratitude, 3 to 5 simple things, yeah, that you can remind yourself how much. And that's what mental fitness has really taught me, on top of many things. And that's why, as part of my journey in this podcast, is really to support those kind of programs or people like you to bring more awareness of what you guys with Shirshad do, because it's truly, truly powerful. And we talk about a little bit the promoting our products and services. So I want to jump in a little bit, because I think it's very important as well to discuss in terms of coaches and entrepreneurs, marketing, and you're good at this.
Yeah, you've mentioned this a couple of times. Let me just make sure we plant it here, because it's a good transition point too, which is, you've talked about the grant program. So for any coaches who are listening right now, I think this is an important point. What we did, and so this is both helping entrepreneurs see the vision for what we did and how we accomplished it, but also giving coaches an opportunity to participate if they haven't already, which is when I met with Shirshad had written a New York Times bestselling book called Positive Intelligence, and that was in 2012. Mm-hmm. And when I met with him, I said, you know, you need to be able to bring this to coaches. And he said, I agree. He said, I want you to help me with this. And I said, no, hold on. I've got the perfect coaching business. At the time, I had launched my coaching business. I had interviewed million-dollar coaches. So I had already had conversations with Tony Robbins, with Rich Litvin, with Kendra Summerhawk, Peter Cook. Like, these are 7-figure coaches. And I asked them all the same exact question, which was, what do you do that other coaches who struggle to make $50,000 a year don't do? Like, what is it that you do differently? And they gave me their entire playbook, and I put it together in the Millionaire Coaches Marketing Playbook, and I was following it to the T. And so my first year of coaching, I made $350,000. The second year of coaching, I made $850,000. And I don't say that to brag. I say that because it was so clear to me. You don't have to struggle as a coach. You just have to know what to do and just execute it. And this is the essential few versus the trivial many. So when I came to Shirshad, I said, you need to bring mental fitness to coaches. He said, I agree. And I want you to help me. And I said, No. I have exactly the life I've designed. I don't need to do it. So I share this with you because he said, yes, but at the end of your life, looking back, what is it you wish to have accomplished? Mm-hmm. And I said, I really want to help coaches to actually eradicate their scarcity and tap into their infinite abundance. He goes, that's a beautiful vision. He said, now, doing what you're doing now, how many coaches do you think you can help? And I said, a couple hundred. He goes, I think you're right. A couple hundred sounds like a very reasonable number doing what you're doing today. Now, if you were to come and join me as you doing this positive intelligence work and doing it with my technology platform, now how many coaches could you help? And it was one of those moments where it went clunk, you know, like, oh. And I said, all of them. And he's like, see. So that's why I want you to help me, because I agree with you. We could absolutely infect and impact every coach who wants to be supported in this way. And I said, oh God, all right, fine. So that was it. So I said, all right, great. So in 2019, I signed up and I said, let's do this. And what I told him, I said, this is the thing. If we're going to do this, we have to show coaches what this program is, because no one's going to come voluntarily and say, I want to learn how to do mental fitness. That's just not a thing. So yeah. Coaches need to experience it for themselves. So I said, you know, I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to terrify you. I want you to give your program away. He goes, Bill, this is my base program. Like, I charge $1,000 for this. What are you talking about? Give this away. That's ridiculous. I said, I know. I said, but you got to trust coaches. Coaches are your biggest advocates. When coaches experience this, they will bring it to their clients. If you want to create a movement in this industry, you have to help coaches understand what mental fitness is. So that's where we started the grant program. And so if any coach is listening out there, if they go to positiveintelligence.com/100x, you can go to this and you'll get the entire $1,000 program for mental fitness training for 6 weeks, totally for free, because you're a coach. So I share that with them because we've referenced it, but that's what it is. And that's the backstory. Why I fast forward as an entrepreneur, like, understanding your irresistible offer is what defines your organization. Up until 2019, Positive Intelligence was a little obscure. It was this really famous book, but not much else. Yeah. You know, fast forward, you know, within just 3 years of launching Positive Intelligence in this way, with this coaching grant, we had over 55,000 coaches go through this coaching grant, and we were named the 567th fastest growing private company, according to Inc. magazine. So did it work? It totally worked, right? Yeah. So for the entrepreneurs listening, like, this was the strategy. This is how we do it. For coaches, if you haven't done it, you should do it, because this is very effective. It'll support your coaching.
Absolutely. Yes to that. And I thank you for sharing the story on top of what you have shared with me before with this, with this 6 week program. I thought that's really, really helpful. And, you know, you mentioned that coaches have to experience, it's the same thing as people have to experience the coaching, right?
That's right.
And that's why I think it's really lovely and it's really powerful. And I remember doing this, and I'm still using it, by the way.
Awesome.
I call it, and I always telling this with my husband, PQ rep. I'm doing my PQ rep. Because that's on top of this, I call it modality. So I have so many modality that help me to it, just because, you know, being an entrepreneur, it's a roller coaster. You're going to be really tested every day. So you have to find that perfect tools or modalities that really work for you. And that is why I'm super, super grateful of us having this conversation, because I'm in a journey, as you, what you said, you would like to help coaches eradicate that scarcity. For me, is to bring more awareness of those experts like you with Shirzad, what they do, and how is it possible that for us to really change our perspective, and we do always have a choice to make until, you know, they're not ready maybe with the coaching, that is totally fine. But we're giving this podcast as an expansion for us to provide a service for them, right? And so moving to, as I've said earlier, the marketing.
Yes.
And I think, I mean, you have done with this years, and you know the tough and the magic, and you hear this many times for sure with coaches or entrepreneurs, like, I'm not good at marketing. I hate marketing. I wish I didn't do marketing. Yeah. And I'm super curious, Bill, what do you really think this means? And what are your practical tips or suggestions for people listening and watching right now to really have that mindset to shift and really give the marketing a go for promoting their products and services that really will help to lead an abundant life?
I'm gonna say what they mean when they say I hate marketing.
Okay.
Because what they're really saying, they're not saying I hate marketing. They're saying I hate being inauthentic. I hate selling. And I hate trying to get someone to do something they don't want to do. That's what they're really saying. And if they understood what marketing really was, they wouldn't feel the way that they feel. Okay. True marketing isn't any of those things. Masterful marketing, and I know because I spent my career in marketing before I became a coach. Masterful marketing is never doing any of those three things. I've never sold anything to anybody. I've enrolled people by aligning what they actually already wanted, because nobody wants to be sold, but everyone enjoys buying.
Yes.
So when you are ready to make a purchase decision, you want to know the information when you want to know it. And so think about this. You know, if you think about it, people have come up with great technology to screen unwanted phone calls, to throw away spam and unwanted emails. Like, the majority of any outbound related unwanted content is going straight to the trash. So that's ineffective marketing. It's not even marketing. It's just spam. It's spam and no one wants it. So guess what? It doesn't work. Great. Awesome. Because it's not marketing. What is marketing? Marketing is authenticity. Marketing is problem solving. Marketing is the four pillars. And this works for coaches just as much as it does for any entrepreneur. Going back full circle to what is essentialism. If you apply essentialism to marketing, there's only four things that matter. Only four. And if you focus on these four things, you will be massively successful. Number one, your focus niche, which is your who. Who is it that you're focused on? When you're not focused, you're doing a spray and pray approach, and it is completely ineffective. You will spend lots of money and you will may have no results and you'll go out of business. So instead, focus all your energy on a single focused effort of a who. Who specifically are you going after? Why? Because the next thing is your irresistible offer. You can't have an irresistible offer unless you know who you're going after, because your who determines your irresistible offer. So as a coach, for example, if you're trying to coach everyone, you can't have an irresistible offer. But if I say, I am only interested in women entrepreneurs who are experiencing imposter syndrome, that's a very specifically defined niche that I now understand. What's their outcome? They don't want to over eradicate their imposter syndrome. Or in my case, I'm looking for coaches to eradicate their scarcity so they can build a seven-figure coaching business. That's a very specific outcome. And if a coach is listening and wants to basically build a seven-figure coaching business, they know who to reach out to, right? It's very specific.
Yes.
So then you go to the third pillar, which is generating appointments. How do you do that? This is where people get really nervous. This is where it's like, I can do those first two. That's not so hard. Because you don't really have to put yourself out there. You can do it on paper and you never have to be like exposed. So going full circle back to the whole saboteurs, this is where all the saboteurs show up, because you literally have to put yourself out there. But again, if you're doing it from a place of sage, all you're doing with generating appointments is putting yourself in a place to be found. You're not forcing yourself on anyone. This podcast is a fantastic example. The people who choose to listen to your podcast want to know about you. There's like, what does Cindy Marie have to say in the world? Great. If she feels like, hey, I like her. I want her to be in my life. I like, and the more they get to know, like, and trust you, they're like, maybe I should hire her as my coach. Maybe she could do something more for me than just be in my ear in this podcast. So that becomes a very easy, because you've made it easy for someone to listen to you. Now they can actually come in and hire you, right? That's a very good, simple, easy way. Didn't feel forced. Didn't feel high pressure, wasn't a spam email, wasn't a spam phone call. You're not having telemarketers annoy your audience, right? Natural. That's natural marketing, right? There's five ways to do that. There's direct outreach, which is the people who already are connected to you on LinkedIn, as an example, people that know, like, and trust you, or people that you already have their cell phone numbers because you're messaging them anyway. That's direct outreach. There is networking, which is like when you go to a meeting that's specifically meant to meet and greet people, whether that's actually referrals from existing clients, or whether that's speaking engagements, or any type, in which includes podcasts, or if you're also talking about writing. Like, there's only five modalities, but all five of them will generate appointments. Fantastic. That's it. Then the last thing you would want to do is convert those appointments. So when somebody says, I want to spend time with you, you find out if it's a good fit. And if it's a good fit, they enroll with you and you've made a sale. Mm-hmm. Does that sound forced? Does that sound inauthentic? Is there any part of this that feels wrong or difficult, right? Real marketing comes from a place of authenticity.
Yes.
Real marketing comes from a place of need. And you're not being in a place of force. You're being in a place of empowerment.
Yes, yes. I love all of those things, especially authenticity, because that's what I really advocate in all the things that I do, is that we are authentic. And you mentioned that as well in your mission, because we are unique and we are trying to copy. And there's nothing wrong with copying, but over time you started to, by copying, which I can say my experience, I'm trying to copy, copy, copy. But eventually I started to realize, who am I?
Yes.
It doesn't work anymore. But at the same time, I think the challenge that I'm seeing with a lot of people, because I have coaches that I have coached talking about marketing. And I said, well, there's no enforcement in marketing, you know, just provide who you are. And right. I think it's because all of this negative self-talk, that
right.
all of this, I have to be seen as the expert. And I think as we grow older as well, we tend to keep that ego, that we don't want to be seen that we are doing mistakes. And I think that's, this is one of the things that I love to show myself. If I made some mumbling with my words, that's totally fine. If I say something that I don't supposed to say, I'm okay. It's because that's just part of evolution and transformation within me. And I think it goes back to our mental fitness, right? Because saboteurs will always, it's always going to be there, but we have to have triple times with our sage through our fitness. And I think through the journey with all of this marketing, because I constantly get it. I constantly ask by it. And one of the examples that, how do you, so many people actually ask me this, Bill, how do you integrate your singing with your coaching? I said, I don't integrate my singing. I showcase my singing because part of who I am. And that's because I'm showing my authenticity. And that's actually very interesting. And I'm like, okay, that's very interesting. Why people not showcasing their creativity when we are not just one? We can do multiple things. But I think, again, going back to the experts, that you have to master one. That's okay. Like for me, my mastery is my voice, with coaching, with podcasting, with public speaking and singing like that. But I make sure that I expand those, because we can. What do you say about that?
So Cindy Marie, one thing that I'm curious, before I answer that question, I will answer that question. I really will. But I want to ask you one counter question first, because it'll help influence this, which is, when I ask, what is your niche? Who do you serve most powerfully as a coach?
You're asking me.
I'm asking you, Cindy
Marie. Yes. I am helping people in transitions in life with any answer.
So here's the thing that I would share with you. There's an opportunity to narrow that focus and massively expand your market. Mm. And I know you didn't ask for this, but I'm volunteering it. So take it for what it's worth. Take it for the advice that you didn't pay for. It's all good,
okay,
right?
Yes.
But the thing that's interesting, what comes up for me as you talk about this, is that you have a power, you have a superpower that you're not currently leveraging in your coaching that you could if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And your superpower is using your voice to help others find their voice.
Mm.
So if I were to say, Cindy Marie, what's your niche? And you say, I use my voice to help others find their voice. How does that resonate with you?
Yes, that truly resonates with me, because I've been always telling myself that my voice is my power.
And it is. But it's not just your power, your client's voice is their power.
Yes.
And it also integrates the singing. Then someone says, why do you show your singing? Because you say, my voice is my power, and I am demonstrating to my clients how their voice could be their power.
Mm-hmm.
And when they actually don't use their voice, they're diminishing their power.
Yes.
You feel how powerful that is?
Yes. And that's, I just want to say this. This is the powerful thing that could happen when you are having this authentic conversation, you know, that just like having a one-on-one coaching, You're seeing the other power, well, the obvious power that I don't see, that I've been using it, but
that's right.
I'm not sharing it in a more direct way that could leverage.
Exactly. You know, and that's the thing. That's the only person I can't coach is me, right? That's it. The coach can't coach himself or herself because it's what's in my blind spot. And I'm holding this up for you because it, like, your gift to me was to be on your podcast. Yes. My gift to you as part of this podcast is to show you what I see. It's in your blind spot is this really powerful gift that you're not using and you could be. And in that process, what happens is when you teach your clients to use their voice, mm-hmm. they become so much more powerful. And what you're doing is you're giving them permission to use their voice by demonstrating how you use yours. You use yours in your singing, you use yours in your podcast. And what's happening is you're not afraid. And that's what people see. They see the courageous you, right? And so when they say, well, Cindy Marie is courageous because she sings, she has a podcast, she uses her voice, and she look at the power that she wields by using her voice. That could be me. And that you give permission, your clients give, you know, give your clients permission to model what you're doing in their own way. And as they use their voice, the world gets better.
Oh, love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. You just helped me to modify, you know, how do you introduce yourself? What I forgot, Rich Litvin will always ask this to share your story. And then he will tell you that, oh, I think this is what I hear about you. And
that's
this is what you're doing to me. And
that's
this is like, Cindy Marie, this is what I think. I'm hearing what you say. And I love it. So thank you so much for giving me that 1,000 more than that huge of advice or suggestion about my niche. Really, really powerful. I love that. I'm going to take note of after this podcast.
Yeah, do it. Because I think that's it's one of the most powerful things you can do for your clients is to really help them find their power. And the voice is one of those places where that really comes in because it's their message. It's how we resonate in the world. Like when we choose to use our individual voices, we're connecting with our highest power, right? It's our ability to actually make change in the world. And it's when we diminish ourselves, when we don't use our voice, when we stay silent, right? The old quote, it's like the only way that evil exists in the world is for good people to say nothing. Yeah.
Beautiful. So. Well, if you ever visit my profile, maybe a couple of weeks or I don't know, and there's a change, it's because
there it is.
I want to remind you, it's because of you. I just want to highlight this again and again. And I never thought about that. Never said by anybody that about the voice, because I've been telling that whenever I speak with people. My voice is my gift. Oh, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome.
And I think that actually powerfully can bring us to the next question. Coaching, right? It feels like we just had a one-on-one coach earlier, right? And coaching is something still new in our era. So I have a very powerful question for you to give us more powerful answer. Like, do we really need a coach?
Okay. And so I love that. Nobody needs a coach. Truthfully, the most successful people have multiple coaches.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you? See, that's the thing is that coaching is a privilege. To be a coach is a privilege and to have a coach is a privilege.
Yes.
And if you think about it, a coach is a guide on the side. And if the coach is not on the field playing your game of life, the coach is watching how you play the game and they're there to support you and making sure you're playing your best possible game. Mm-hmm. So you do not need a coach. You could go out there and play your game and do the best you can, but it's so helpful to have a guide on the side, watching your moves, observing and reflecting back to you what they see. That's infinitely powerful. Like what's happened since I've gone with my coach, I have grown exponentially. Let's just count a few things. This is me personally, right? Since I've hired my own coach, right? My coaches over the years, I have become financially free. So money is no longer a problem. I went from scarcity to abundance. That's how we started our conversation. So I am now financially free. I have built and exited multiple businesses. I have two loving children that I have the most epic relationships with, one of them, which is transgender, and I've had no issues or conflicts on any of that, those relationships. I have dealt with my own alcoholism and have gone through full recovery. I have dealt with childhood trauma. I have gone through all the things that you could possibly imagine, and I experience both happiness and my sage by default. Yes. All that negative self-talk we talked about, I visit it, I hear it. I still have anger every now and then, but it's just to feel it and get off it, feel it and get off it. I'm living my best life.
Yes.
Who doesn't want that?
Yes, yes. I love that because I was just about to continue the question that if having one, how can it impact, which you already answer. And same thing with me ever since. So give you an example, my story in terms of my coaching. So I never knew coaching, what was coaching. All I knew was like, you know, when you are in the having a responsibility as a manager, whatever, on that managerial or taking care of a team. I know that you can train, you can guide, you can coach, but I never knew. And ever since I dive into personal growth with the coaching, I was like, that's why I'm so, so passionate of bringing awareness to people, how powerful is coaching, because one of those people I considered my VIP clients is my husband. He never knew coaching also exists. And I'm telling you, like many people, whenever I say that, how could you do that? That's impressive and tough one. I said, yes, it is tough one. But the thing is that when you're in a place of love, when you're in a place of peace, and you constantly having an open communication, why you want to help your husband or your partner, things will open widely and peacefully. And I think both of us really a learner, both of us really want to learn and grow. And so he realized, like, wow, I never knew about this coaching, and this is so powerful. And that's why he's very, very supportive of what I do. And obviously, entrepreneur is something new for both of us. His dad is actually has a background, but for me, none of my family members have entrepreneurial background. So I'm like, yeah, but you know, when you have that mission and purpose so just huge beyond yourself, you constantly have that urge to wake up in the morning that I'm doing this not only for myself. I'm doing this because I want to make a difference. And I think that is why I love when you say about coaching, it's not really a necessity. However, it can really give your life more effective and efficient in terms of abundance. So thank you for answering that.
Yay! Awesome.
And so the next question I have, Bill, and I super love this question. I get different answers. Some people would say, I am not like that person. Some people say, I don't like that term, but I'm always asking anyway, because I am that person. I'm optimism, optimistic person. And so you have so many things on your plate, right? A lot of demands with kids and providing all of these projects, on and on. And you have this marathon, you mentioned you're completing your book. So I'm super curious, Bill, how do you keep yourself optimistic? And are there any routines or habits that you're more than happy to share with people that they perhaps could experiment and see if it works for them?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The thing about optimism is that it's choice. Just like pessimism is a choice. Mm. And so I would say, yes, I am an optimist and I choose to be an optimist. And part of the choice is that I believe in my heart that life is happening for me, not to me. And if I believe life is happening for me, I have a choice of abundance or overwhelm. Both are available to me. Mm-hmm. I can say, oh my God, I'm overwhelmed. Look at all the things that are happening to me. Or I can say, oh my God, my life is so abundant. Look at all the things that are happening for me. Same circumstance, totally different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So in the last 2 months, I've been building my magnum opus, my most important project I've ever worked on in my life. It's called PQ Wealth Builder. I'm helping coaches build the wealth behind their coaching businesses. It is a mastery level program for positive intelligence. It combines all of the work that I've done for my entire career of building businesses, combined with a mastery level work around what Shahrzad Shamin has taught me about positive intelligence and mental fitness, all brought together at a pinnacle level for coaches. And over the last, the project was approved to kick off in the end of the last year. So in December, I got the green light. But the launch of the enrollment was yesterday. So just literally yesterday. Yeah. And so you can imagine there was a lot of things that had to come together, especially since this is a brand new product that we were launching. And so I've spent the last 2 months working ridiculous hours, 14 hour days on average. But here's the thing. It was all a labor of love. Mm. It was. Because it's my magnum opus, because it's my pinnacle, it's like this is all heart and soul. So there was no negativity, no begrudging. My family knew this was it. This is my big project. This is the thing I'm up to. And so they were giving me love and space and kindness, knowing that this is a temporary blip. I'm not here to be a workaholic. I'm not doing this forever. This is a short-term crunch. My friends know it. They're supporting me in it. It's when you are genuinely in a place of ease and flow, it's okay to have these crunch times, right? This is an unusual period in my life. And yesterday went better than I could have possibly imagined. All of it paid off. We were hoping for 18 out of 36 enrollments would have been 50% enrollment on the first day, it's an aggressive goal. We got 24 enrollments. So we went more than 60% of enrollment on day one. Yeah, amazing. Just absolutely amazing. And that was the whole thing. We were very, very proud of all the results, but it couldn't have happened if I didn't put all of that effort in along with the rest of the tireless results of my team for the better part of 8 weeks. So yeah, life's happening for me, not to me.
I love that. It is the lens, the perspective that we choose. And thank you for a great reminder for that. And that also a great reminder for everyone watching or listening right now that you might have such a unpleasant emotions or feelings right now because hearing from Bill, oh yeah, right. You know, you're getting all of these things, but you don't know what I'm going through. And there's just one thing that I always remind people that, yes, he might have experienced that. It's a congratulations. It's a celebration. But just ask yourself how many years he has gone through with all of these things. I think it's always important that we don't compare Bill's success based on today's news.
Great no. reminder. Success looks like it's overnight and it never is. It's never is. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. And congratulations. I'm super happy for the project. And not only that, you guys very ambitious, but you reach more than that. The 18. It was 24. So I'm really rooting for you and the entire positive intelligence because there's such a great space and piece of art coaching really does in our lives. And as I told to many and to myself, as long as I'm living, I'm going to bring this awareness to people that when you have a guidance, when you have this kind of tool, your perspective in life is just, you constantly have something to be grateful for.
Yes.
Right? So Bill, we have been having a lot of great conversations and for sure, there are so many people watching or listening right now, super curious with multiple programs now that you have and how can they reach you or find you so that they can find more what you offer, projects and so on?
Yeah. So I would start by telling them the best thing they could do for themselves is go to positiveintelligence.com and do the saboteur assessment so they can really understand what you and I have been talking about today. I think that would be like 5 minutes of time for massive insights on their own lives. I think that's the best thing I could offer them up. And there's no cost to that. So great. Fantastic. And then if they want to know more about me, you can always find me on LinkedIn. I'm just Bill Carmody, C-A-R-M-O-D-Y. And my website is BillCarmody.com. And those are probably the best ways to reach me. I also wrote a best-selling book, The Three Rules of Marriage, threerulesofmarriage.com. That's with my wife when we celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary. And it's how to keep a really epic marriage alive and spicy and fun and in love. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. And for many people who are about to search him in his LinkedIn, he has a very, very amazing profile pic. So I love it. I love it. So anyway, Bill, I super, super appreciate this conversation that we're having today and really, really thankful for this conversation. And for people out there watching or listening right now, if you find so many of our conversations or topics that we have discussed super, super helpful, feel free, if not feel free, share it to many people, you know, because we covered so many things, not only for your life, but for business, marketing, and reminders, right? And so thank you. Thank you so much for watching and listening right now. Until next time, with yours truly, Cindy Marie, here to empower your life. Thank you so much, Bill.
Thanks, Cindy Marie. Take care.
What a powerful conversation with Bill. It's worth repeating to watch or listen to, from mental fitness, marketing, and having a coach to have an abundant life and business. So share with us your insights. Drop your comments below. Don't forget to subscribe. Give our podcast a follow and rate a review so that our show will grow organically. We love to continue serving you in the best way. Until next time, stay optimistic, shift that perspective, keep taking action, believe in yourself, and stay on your game, because you've got what it takes to achieve your dreams and make an impact on this planet. Be unstoppable.